Blog Talk Radio.
Me. And welcome to the East West Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Q. Simon. Join me alongside the person who was snubbed yet again for Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Manager of the Year, Nikki Heyman.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Let's see, we've got a little bit on the docket.
Yep. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about Rob Roulette, a new TNA Women's Champion, the current Royal Rumble situation, and Nikki Heyman's trip to yet another house show.
You make it sound like I do this on a regular basis.
Well, you've been to what? Close to, I think you're nearing 200.
I'm at 164 wrestling-related events, if I count the Ohio Valley show tomorrow afternoon.
And I take it you are going.
Which I am going.
Okay.
So.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple ways you can get in contact with us. You can call in at 1-646-716-9678 to call in and talk to us if you have any questions, comments, what have you. You can also IM me through AIM and MMXFan2. And finally, you can also join, you know, chat along in our chat room that we have broadcasted and ready to go. So now, with all that said, let's get started, shall we?
Yes, please.
Hey! And it says, we got something here on the forums. Rick the Sign Guy fears Nikki Heyman.
Well, maybe he does. Actually, he does. I shouldn't say he does not. He didn't like the fact that I actually put his name on one of my signs at Piper Tuesday.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to hear that story. It's a quick one.
Okay.
We had brought in a handful of signs, like, and by no means not as many as Rick does. He brings a whole portfolio. I had held up a sign that said, I voted for Sign Guy. As I was waving it around, I noticed he had a spot behind the announce table. He looked over at it and he says, will you put that sign down?
Anyways, we will first start off with Final Resolution, the big pay-per-view that happened on Sunday.
Yes, which I unfortunately did not get to see.
A lot of people watching, they thought it was really good.
Which is always a good sign. I was very surprised with some of the results, specifically the women's match.
Which we will get to right now.
Yes.
But we'll start off with the tag team match, the curtain jerker.
Right.
LAX beats the Rock and Rave Connection. Seems like they got a lot of tag teams in TNA. Good sizable amount of tag teams.
They do, and you'll have to pardon me. I don't have the list in front of me about the card.
Well, I got the complete card right in front of me.
Okay, I'm going
to... The entire Final Resolution card.
No, I've got mine. There we go.
Okay. LAX beats the Rock and Rave Connection, and we finally find out what the masked Latino Nation member is.
Formerly... She was a tarot card reader named Ariel.
You mean Areola?
That's what Joey Styles called her. But yes, that was Shelly Martinez hidden under that baggy T-shirt, I believe, is how they explained it on Impact, the following Impact.
It was.
It had to be a very baggy T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, because they're what, E's, F's? It has to be E's.
I was going to say, either that or there's more than three D's in there.
which is almost equal to Brother Ray's boob size right now.
I wasn't going to go there. Although, admittedly, yeah, he could use a little workout. Where were we on the list? Ah, yes. Kaz defeating Black Rain.
Now you're forgetting one part before that.
What's that?
It's bowl season, so TNA decided to have their own type of championship series that makes little to no sense.
Oh, the beer drinking championship.
Yeah, the drinking championship series, the DCS.
It's not as good as whatever Kevin Nash came up with last year, but...
Yes, the the PCS, the Paparazzi Championship Series.
Which is worlds better than what we're seeing here with James Storm and Eric Young.
Yep. And James Storm wins round one, the trivia contest.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the grudge match. Kaz defeats Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Black Rain. Oh, and a very important announcement on Impact. Kaz decided to get some face pops by stealing his rat.
And named it Marlena.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember the relevance of the diva of that name, because I know I've heard that name before.
That would be Terry Runnels, Dustin's former wife.
That is so not nice.
But yet,
I will give Kaz... Go ahead.
But yet it works.
Remind me to give Kaz a hug the next time I see him.
I will. But I might want to hug him first. But anyways, that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
The TNA Women's Title No Disqualification Match. Gail Kim becomes victorious by defeating Awesome Kong to retain the title. And we'll get to the second part of the story later on in the show.
Indeed, but what I saw, what they showed of this match on Impact last night, really surprised me. I was very, very impressed with what little I did see of the match, and I've yet to hear a bad thing about this match.
It was a very solid women's match, probably the best women's match that we've seen on pay-per-view TV in a while.
Given that Vince isn't holding up his end of the bargain, continue.
Well, it's because Vince thinks Candice Michelle is God's gift to women's wrestling.
I don't get me started.
Then we have what has to be the longest-running storyline going today, Abyss's Secret.
Ah, yes. It still hasn't been revealed.
Which will be finally revealed next week on Impact. Thank God.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
Don't worry. It's a good one. Judas Mathias beats Abyss. And after the match, they pour gasoline on Abyss's face. But security prevented them from lighting the fire.
Judas
Mathias. Anyone?
Well, I was thinking specifically of the slightly botched Kane and RVD sequence. They were actually going to light Rob.
All right.
They were actually going to smoke Rob. I think that's illegal in some states.
Right. Then we get to the mixed tag match. King Booker and Queen Booker T and Sharmell. They defeated Robert Roode and Tracy Brooks. After the match, Tracy Brooks slapped Robert Roode, then Roode threatened Brooks, and Sharmell stood up for Brooks, who got a shattered jaw for her efforts.
Now, that's worked, right? Please tell me that worked.
I think this is a work.
Okay.
Then we get to the phase two of the Drinking Championship Series. In a Hold Your Pee contest. Eric Young defeats James Storm. Eric Young must have an iron gallbladder.
I'm trying to figure out how that's supposed to be exciting, especially since I remember the article from, I think it was early last year, Hold Your Wee for a Wee, and a woman died over it.
And then we get to the Ultimate X match.
Yes,
Team 3D
used
the ladder to climb up and grab possession of the belt when you're supposed. The rules state that you have to use the actual X in order to get the belt. But the ref was knocked out at the time, saw Brother Ray with the belt. He rang the bell. And they're declared the winners.
Which, this should be the blow-off match. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It is not the blow-off match. The blow-off match is at Against All Odds.
I know. This should have been the blow-off match.
With Shelley Sabin and Lethal winning.
True. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Right. Then we get to the tag title match. The current odd couple is Samoa Joe and Kevin Nash. They got along, but Nash, he walked out.
It just sounds so familiar. Just the other one's not going right now because poor Matt is recuperating back in Cameron.
Right. So AJ Styles and Tyson Tomko win the match and retain their titles.
Now, did AJ stay out there just leading since this led right into the main event?
AJ Styles, I think he came from the back, but let's not get a little ahead of ourselves. We'll get to that next. But first, the finale of the Drinking Championship Series.
Mm.
Last man standing drinking contest. That means drink till you fall down.
Okay, that's amusing.
I haven't thought about if ODB was in this contest, she would have won all three.
I think she could have won all three.
Yes. Actually, she sort of... never mind. James Storm beats Eric Young and takes the best 2 out of 3 and reclaims his beer drinking title.
Lordy, 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 lordy.
And I have a special report that about 5 minutes later, he lost that belt to Miss Jackie Moore. I don't know why I said that.
I'll admit he probably lost the belt, but he probably just put it on a dresser and then spoke with Jackie Moore. But that couldn't be aired.
Right. And then we get to the world title match.
Yes.
Said to be a good match all throughout. AJ Styles then shows up and pulled Kurt Angle off the ring and then hugged his mentor, Christian Cage. And we all know who AJ Styles' mentor actually is. You want to take a guess?
It wasn't Christian Cage when we were done.
No. It was Air Paris that was his mentor. No.
Stop that.
AJ Styles turns on Christian Cage and Kurt Angle wins the match and retains the TNA World title, setting up a three-way dance for next week's Impact. Well, during the coronation, it sets up a three-way dance for Impact.
Trivia.
Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Christian Cage.
Trivia.
If Christian Cage and Samoa Joe win, or Samoa Joe wins, they will get a title shot. If AJ Styles wins, AJ gets a title shot. He could use that title shot to go up against Kurt Angle, or he could give Kurt Angle 2 months off until lockdown.
Now, for the trivia.
Yes.
The coronation segment, somebody asked me this in the chat during the show. The throne that was used, I believe, is the same throne that King Booker had for his coronation. After he won the title at the Great American Bash. I am almost positive that is the same throne.
I'm sure that Booker T stole it from the WWE prop department.
Pretty much. It's, it was, oh, bother. I had pictures from the SmackDown after the Great American Bash in Detroit, I believe, when they were celebrating. And I only have side views of the throne, but I'm almost positive it's the same.
Okay.
But
and now we go ahead today.
Mm-hmm.
And since we are at the Mohegan Sun Casino and Resort, it's time to do our favorite gimmick of all time. Raw Roulette. Dun, 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 dun.
You don't sound all that enthused about it. I personally liked the first two Raw Roulette shows.
Raw Roulette was a great one. However, the best way it was done was at Halloween Havoc 93.
Okay. I'll take your word on
toughest,
it.
Yeah, two of the toughest guys of all time. Cactus Jack and Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Deathmatch is what it landed on. Now, you tell me that's not a match.
Oh, no. Trust me, that's a very good match. But I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed bits and pieces from the first two Raw Roulette shows, including the Mighty TLC from the Vegas Raw Roulette, and for my comedy fix, the Capture the Midget match from the second Raw Roulette.
Right. The Grease Cow Midget.
Almost,
and who won it again?
JR.
Complete with the Oklahoma Sooner music.
Well, despite the fact that he wasn't the one that was chasing him. Hurricane chased him, Rosie chased him, Terry chased him, two stagehands chased him. Somebody else was in that conga line. Anyway.
Who cares?
But this one that came up, this Raw Roulette, unfortunately, I don't feel it measured up. I don't know
no,
what
it didn't,
was
because it just followed suit. So pretty much every single, you know, generic thing. Let me explain. We had a Triple H and William Regal. Vince spun the wheel, and it landed on a First Blood match.
Right.
Which, you know, that sounds fair. It's okay. Now, this one I did sort of see coming when I saw it on the wheel when I first tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
We have Shawn Michaels and Mr. Candy. They were going to face off. Vince spins the wheel, and it lands on Strange Bedfellows. What that means is these two will be in a tag match with another team, you know, who, you know, sort of sync.
But
then
a team
again,
that worked together before.
Yeah, Trevor Murdoch and Charlie Haas.
And Charlie got to bust out his new gimmick.
Yes. El Grande Luchador Haas.
Which lasted all of about, what, 2 minutes before Sean pulled his mask off, and he went, and you could actually hear the show audio. Charlie says, oh, no.
Yep.
And he loses all of his lucha powers, and that's how they lost the match.
Right.
That's funny.
Shawn Michaels was about to win. He already super kicked him. Kennedy tagged him and did his mic check, not mind check, Online World of Wrestling. Mic check.
Right. Even I got that.
Right. Which pretty much is a flatliner. Now, that was a good, good finishing move done by, I believe, Mortis, a.k.a. Chris Canyon.
Right.
And then we get to, which I think was the funniest thing of the night, Trading Places match.
We needed to have, where was Gold Dust or Old School Kane, or I needed somebody with a costume to do this, although they picked two of the right guys to do this.
Yes. Carlito Cool came in wearing the Holly, you know, actually, if they wanted to do it right, they have to be bald or near shaven.
Well, they couldn't do that much, and I'm impressed how much they could cram under that wig.
Right.
And then
we get the greatest star, which I believe will be the greatest star of 2008 on Raw.
Okay. All right.
Santino Marella. I'm getting better on that, trust me.
I know. Don't
and then we have Hardcore Holly, who busts out this Carlito wig, and I'm thinking, damn!
I'm thinking Lamont, but...
yeah, but whatever happened to Lamont? I missed the cat in 2004 WWE.
Lamont didn't last very long. He had two or three different duties, and then he just kind of evaporated. But his wig stayed behind. In fact, it got even bigger to the point that when Holly finally got to the ring, he took it off, handed it to Cody Rhodes, and said, here, hold my wig while I take Carlito's stupid shirt off. And then he tried to wrestle with the wig on. So props. This is a name I didn't expect.
Yeah, and he also did the trademark apple.
He did the he had the apple in hand, and he did the apple spit as his finisher. On top, well, did he Alabama Slam him first, or did he apple spit him first?
Apple spit first, then Alabama Slam, or as JR said it, by Slam-a-Jamma.
There's a basketball player out there saying, trademark infringement?
Exactly.
But
and then we get,
yes.
So, which I think was one of the best backstage segments.
Okay.
Vince McMahon and Maria. And rumors are rampant that she'll be posing in Playboy.
I can try to, do you want me to try to confirm that real quick?
I'd rather not.
All right. I'm disappointed regardless. I don't think that it's necessary. I know there's a lot of people that are, you know, that dig the fact that Vince can get one of his divas into Playboy every year. What's the
and
point?
He chose the wrong one.
Supposedly, they have the gals can actually say no.
Yeah, but they'd probably lose their push.
Trish Stratus said no. Molly Holly said no.
Good point.
Molly Holly
but
said
the best no. One, here's what happened, though, in the backstage segment, though.
All right.
The wheel landed on a submissions match for him, which would have been odd, but it would have worked.
If you had women that could wrestle.
Well, three out of four ain't... Well, three wrestlers out ain't bad.
Right.
You had Mickey, you had Melina, and Jillian could wrestle, though.
No, you're right. Jillian can wrestle. I got to see her when she was managing the Tolans, later known as the Dicks.
The Blonde Bombers, I believe, was their name in OVW.
Right.
And it lands on lingerie pillow fight. I think we all know the word that followed my lips when I saw that. Fast forward.
What was the word again? I'm sorry.
Fast forward.
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was still kind of goofy. And at least this time they actually used the pillows. I mean, we had the lingerie pillow fight at WrestleMania 22, and they wrestled.
Yeah.
They weren't doing it right. Not to say that I'm into women's matches, but, you know.
Well, you're into women's matches when they actually wrestle. You know, like if you have a classic Trish Lita match or the four-way from, I want to say, Judgment Day 2003.
Give me that group.
Trish. I want to say we had Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jazz. And we had Molly Holly.
Mm-hmm. I miss even more.
Yeah. And then after that match, and we had a return.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley is back.
Good, bad, or indifferent?
The tranny is back. Indifferent.
Tranny?
I gotta throw out a WrestleCrap reference every now and then.
Alright.
Ashley is dubbed the tranny.
Oh my. I'm glad to see her back, but she's, you know, she ranks up there as one of our other fragile divas. So let's see how long this lasts.
Then we get Hornswoggle that he's looking for a tag team partner, you know, for his match. And if he gets a tag team partner and defeats two people, he's in the Rumble with
mm-hmm.
his partner. First he asked Super Crazy, he says, I am Super, but I am not that crazy.
Well, shame on you, sir, but thanks for coming.
And then we get the first blood match. Triple H defeats William Regal. You know, we knew that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, but it still wasn't that bad of a match.
It was a good match, though.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Hornswoggle and Santino Marella. He says small people creep him out.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but.
Well, it could be worse. Could have been super porky.
Well, I was waiting. Actually, I was waiting for Hornswoggle to reply. Well, little people scare me too. That'd have been a nice little bit of continuity.
And then we get a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho versus Gene Snitsky, which is a handicap match in itself.
Yeah, but they don't know where to hang the sticker on that man.
And John Bradshaw Layfield.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not too
keen on the end of the match was bad.
And it only got worse. They should have broken it up a lot sooner.
Uh-huh.
JBL should not have gotten that far with Jericho.
With the lynching?
Yeah, the fact that he had a major power cable wrapped around Jericho's neck. I was trying to figure out what actually powered down.
I don't know why, but this sort of harkens back to his old Justin Hawk Bradshaw gimmick.
Right. It was, you know, so, well, somebody suggested to me that he should get that somebody, that Jericho should knock Bradshaw's head against something very solid and knock the JBL out of him. And he wakes up and he thinks of himself as the old APA Bradshaw.
Vince McMahon? Head? Al Snow's head. Okay.
It's worth a try.
Then we get the Royal Rumble qualifying match.
Mm-hmm.
Hornswoggle and his partner would face off against the Highlanders. God, it's been a while since we've seen them on TV.
I do miss them, and I still haven't figured out if they want them. I think they want them to be heel, but we don't get anything.
It's just not working.
It takes TV time to get it to work. And what in the world was that that walked out with Hornswoggle?
It was a jobber. You know, he's sort of a local guy. But guess who came out?
And then when, you know, when we thought that this match was going to be a car wreck, we actually hear a car wreck. Always a good sound.
Mick Foley helps out Hornswoggle and wins the match.
And thus, four spots have been filled for the Rumble.
So Hornswoggle gets in, but Mick Foley also gets in.
So that means that Mankind and Cactus Jack and Dude Love get in, too. Ooh, that's five spots.
Well,
get a lot done in one match.
God, it's 1998 all over again.
I am paying a lot of money to see the Rumble, and I think my ticket would be worth it if I got all three. And Mick.
But you'd be happy if you got at least one.
Yes, I'm glad to see that I'm at least going to get to see him in person. I haven't gotten that very often.
And then, which has been dubbed the Jeff Hardy match, aka the match of the night.
Yes.
Jeff Hardy defeats Umaga in a steel cage match.
With a spectacular, fantabulous, whisper in the wind off the top of the cage.
Yes. One of the few times he's actually hit that move.
Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, it was so beautiful.
He wins the match, much to the chagrin of Randy Orton.
Despite the fact that Jeff jumped back in the cage, I would have paid equal money to watch Jeff splatter Orton all over the floor.
We got a comment on the forums about the Highlanders.
Oh, we do? Let me get that back up. I'm sorry.
They're the Bushwhackers with a Roddy Piper twist. Like Mellow
Piper.
Yellow
well,
without
Piper
the lemon.
Piper has did try to help them out a little while back.
Yep. Back in 2006 when he fell ill.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I must say that there's some internet heat tapings. Atlas the Bone is doing heat duty.
Aha, that means I might not see him tomorrow. He is very close to, it sounds like he's very close to a call-up. I've seen his name popping up for house shows.
And then we got the natural Nick Nemeth.
And I believe he's the one with the bodyguard.
Big Rob, yeah.
Big Rob is a former bodybuilder. I don't have his name in front of me, but they signed some. I'm guessing that Johnny Ace took one look at him and his jaw hit the floor and said, "Wow, look at those muscles. You're hired."
Mm-hmm.
So the guy's got zero wrestling experience, to my knowledge. They've both been down in FCW.
And I think he should get a little bit of wrestling underneath his belt, you know, at least learn the basics.
Well, I'm hoping they're working on that. We'll see.
Who knows? He could be the next Curtis Hughes.
I don't know that name. I don't think that was a compliment either.
Curtis Hughes was all right though. And then we had Harry Smith, who's been relegated to heat duty.
Okay.
He won his match against some unknown jobber.
Right.
I'm wondering something.
Okay.
We had Jim Duggan and Super Crazy. They defeated some guy named Mega and somebody else.
Mega. Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, that's because he wrestles mainly in New York in the ECWA, the East Coast Wrestling Association.
Okay.
It's probably Mike Nice.
I'll have to do a little more homework.
And listen to this guy. 6'7", 400 pounds.
Holy crap. Whoa, now I'm going to have to do some research. What was his name again? Give me...
His wrestler name is Mega. If you go to the results on Raw, you'll see a link to his name.
Okay.
Then for the Internet Heat main event, Santino Marella defeats Brian Kendrick. He truly opened up a can of the ass whip. And those are the bottom lines. Que Santino Marella, say it be so.
Let's see. I don't see it here. All right, I won't waste my time on that.
Okay.
But the show overall, the message is that they had some good ideas, but it didn't have a special feel the way the other two Raw Roulette shows did. The first
right.
one
was
a lot
just
of fun.
There.
It was just there. The first one was special and it felt random.
Mm-hmm.
The second one you could see them playing with the pedal for the roulette wheel, which really irritated me throughout the show.
Right.
This one, they were very subtle with the wheel. When they did cheat, they meant it. I'm speaking specifically of the segment with Vince and Maria. But they didn't. The match selection was not random enough for my taste.
That's right.
If you have a roulette wheel, you better have something nice and random. I want to see something that you wouldn't normally see. I mean, the only thing that really stood out from that show was the Trading Places match. The Strange Bedfellows match is just a condensation of a storyline.
I would agree with that. And also the promotion of Charlie Haas's Lucha gimmick.
Which is great. And, I'm actually hoping that gets him somewhere because it looks like that might actually get him to sprout a personality. He's excellent in the ring, and it's my understanding that he knows a couple of different styles. So perhaps using this alter ego, he can work a different style in the ring.
Now we get to ECW.
Okay.
and the continuing saga of Colin Delaney.
That's
Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes, the new...
Without
the
personality.
The second coming of Mikey Whipwreck. Unfortunately, I'm having a hard time having any sympathy for this kid who looks like Sean Draven from my neck of the woods. And Draven can actually wrestle.
And has some. I bet he has some personality.
He does.
Colin Delaney? No personality.
Which is why I didn't feel very bad when he ended up under Mark Henry.
That's how you build up Mark Henry. That's what you need to do. It's been a while since we saw him on TV.
And I think you're going to get to see more of him because Matt Stryker has inadvertently recruited him for his Monster Squad.
See, we got Matt Stryker. I like the Monster Squad idea. Big Daddy V, Mark Henry.
And
almost a half a ton of fun.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And can we just keep them together and get the tag team a T-shirt?
Yes.
So that Stryker will wear it in support of his team and Big Daddy V will be forced to wear a shirt.
Or at least get the old Viscera garb on him. I mean the old Viscera garb.
So you're going back further than the pajamas.
Yeah, I'm going like Attitude Era Viscera.
Okay.
Where it covered every inch of his body.
Right.
Brie breasts are fine in chicken, but I do not want to see him on a man.
The man has four boobs.
Yes. Three on his body and Matt Stryker. But a...
Ouch. Matt Stryker is a side boob. Anyway, where were we on the show?
Now let's get to the tag team title match. The 15 minutes of fame match.
Now, this was a lot of fun, but I could watch Miz and Morrison and Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore fight all week.
That should have been like a 30-minute match.
And
but it doesn't comply with John Morrison's gimmick.
No. But at least this, I do have one minor complaint. Whoever was in charge of graphics for this match, I couldn't see the whole clock. You had it scrolled off to the left.
I think that's because Sci-Fi is in HD.
Well, some of us regular D folks would like to see it.
Yeah, SD. And then the match ended up tied, and as we all know, when it comes to these Iron Man matches, tie, and if the title's on the line, tie goes to the champs.
I wanted sudden death. I really wanted five more minutes.
I think they're ready for pay-per-view.
It would be, I'd love to see them actually compete against each other at the pay-per-view, but I think they're all going to land in the Rumble.
Actually, all four of them are in the Rumble match.
Did they finally acknowledge that that Moore and Yang were going in?
Hold on. Let me check WWE.com. I have it right here. As I load up WWE.com. And let's see. Who do we got here? Finley and Noble are in the Royal Rumble match.
And I know how Finley got in.
Morrison's in, nope. Right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You only got 12 in so far, according to WWE.com. Got Umaga, we got Snitsky, Holly, Miz, Morrison, Hornswoggle, Foley, Batista, Undertaker, Kane, Noble, and Finlay. Out of those 12, would you say a favorite to win is in there?
Let's see. Who has some really good storyline potential and has been moving along over the past year that would be a good call? I'd like to see it go to Finley at this point. There's some intrigue on that was on tonight's SmackDown show. I know you haven't seen it yet, Mr. Seidelman.
I have it recording on my DVR as we speak.
Okay. There'll be a little segment with Finley and Vince that you'll need to see.
I would think that either Finley helps Horn, Finley wins the Rumble, or Finley gets a screw job by Vince, and we get one of the worst Royal Rumble, worst WrestleMania matches we'll ever see, which is Finley versus Vince. Oh, I take that back. Hornswoggle versus Vince.
But that way they don't have to spend the money on some celebrity who doesn't know what they're doing at WrestleMania.
Oddly enough, Trump knew what was going on. Hell, he went to WrestleMania's 4 and 5.
Right, but he had all the personality of a wooden nickel.
Still got the personality of a wooden nickel.
It really undermined the match. Then again, I was disappointed in this match to begin with. We had two belt holders that are simply the answer to a trivia question. That,
Umaga, the Intercontinental title, and Bobby Lashley, the ECW champion.
And the fact that Stone Cold Steve Austin had been called in as the referee, so not only did he have a huge hand in how the match ended, he won the segment, he got to shave Vince McMahon's head, with him involved in the match, there was no doubt who was getting their head shaved. And people say, well, that's a pity. You really thought that Trump would get his head shaved? If Mick frickin' Foley had been in there in a ref shirt, there'd have been some doubt. There was no doubt with Stone Cold Steve Austin in there.
It was just a bad, bad match.
And that was one of the few things that I did not like from my seat at WrestleMania.
Oh, by the way, speaking about that, I don't like it when they announce all the Rumble participants. It was great when you didn't know who would be in, like Honky Tonk Man and Drew Carey.
Well, we're not gonna know everybody who's going to be in the Rumble. We're probably going to get at least 20 names, so we'll still get some surprises, and we'll have some we have some returns on the horizon. Bobby Lashley is medically cleared. I'm guessing they're going to throw him in the Rumble.
To be honest with you, I like Bobby Lashley. I just don't like the way that he was done in ECW. That soured him on me.
I didn't mind him in ECW. I had a problem with him walking around with the ECW title on every other show and then not defending his belt on ECW and then dropping it to Vince. But that's a whole nother rant that I'm not going to begin on. I took care of that at the 2007 show. Breathe. Okay.
About 17, 16 minutes off the show. If you want to call in, the phone number is 646-716-9678. Call in and we'll field your questions and leave some comments, what have you. And we get to Chavo and Punk.
Which is another that I'm enjoying that little feud. I really am.
No, I don't have the information with me right now, and my DVR cut off at the ending. Punk win or Chavo win?
Punk retained on a disqualification. Apparently, Chavo's forgotten how to cheat.
He's watched some old Eddie Guerrero tape.
Well, yeah, he needs to go back and watch some of the stuff that his uncle did because he got caught.
Can't do that.
Eddie doesn't get caught, or when he does get caught, it's not bad enough to get the match thrown out.
So, Punk wins, and it looks like Chavo Guerrero is think of a third plan, a plan C, if you will.
And he had some business to take care of on SmackDown this week as well.
Right. And I'll watch that later. Now, we get into some TNA matters.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about Impact. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, directly after Impact will be Global Impact. I highly suggest you guys watching this.
I'll think about taking a look at it.
We have the main storyline was around the show was pretty much revolving around AJ Styles. He's going to be going under a gimmick change.
What?
Instead of regular phenomenal AJ Styles, we get the phenomenal Prince AJ Styles.
Oh, that.
That's right.
Now, better Prince AJ than Tutan Phenom that we saw halfway through the show. Actually, that was funny.
It was.
Does AJ just have a costume fetish? He should channel the Big Show and start coming out in costumes of the other wrestlers.
I would mark if you know what AJ should do.
Okay.
Great gimmicks of TNA pass. On second thought, no.
No, that would be a bad plan.
Especially if he comes out as cheats.
No, he would. You know what? He would come out as Stomper.
Which is up for a Booker nomination.
Yeah. But I would pay a lot of money to see AJ come out in the Stomper costume and actually wrestle.
Looks like we're going to have the blow-off match with Team 3D, Johnny Devine, and Motor City Machine Guns and Jay Lethal.
Yes.
It's going to be a hardcore street fight against all odds. If Shelley, Sabin, and Lethal win, they get the X Division belt back, and we'll go back around the waist of Jay Lethal. If Team 3D wins, the X Division goes away for good.
Which I don't see happening.
Nor I. I think this might be our blow-off.
Yeah, I still think they should have done the blow-off at this past pay-per-view, but I will be quiet.
Right. I blame Dutch.
I blame Vinny.
Why don't we meet in the middle and blame them all?
I blame TNA Creative. How's that?
All right. Then the next week we finally get the end of this storyline. The Abyss's father storyline has been going on ever since, I think, early 2006. Late 2006, excuse me. Or early 2007, I don't know anymore. It's gone on for too damn long.
Well, part of it was the big delay with Judas Macias getting hurt.
Yeah. And then we got traded to such gems as Black Rain and Relic. For the life of me, I will never get Black Rain.
I'll just take it from Chris Harris's comment, Goldust with a really, really sick twist.
And carrying Marlena the Rat.
Which is just wrong on so many different levels. There's about three different connotations that go with it.
Right. And by the way, some news about Chris Harris and Ron the Truth Killings.
Killings is pretty much signed. Harris is taking care of a couple of things. I think he had a week left because the internet went just downright silly on this. First it was, oh, he's done. Then it was, no, he's not. And they said, oh, wait, he's got a week left. Is he going to go? And then everybody started making Senshi jokes.
Well, Senshi's just finishing up. Actually, he's on a pay-per-appearance schedule.
Until he finds something else, or is he just, you know, hanging on?
He needs to come back to Ring of Honor. He needs to go to Ring of Honor. They need Gabe Sapolsky needs to let it go, whatever he's got up against Senshi.
Senshi could go have some fun in Japan. I think he needs to go over there and just kick ass one way up one side down the other.
Agreed.
And then come stomping back in, and Vince would hire him in Javi Mountain 3 months.
Right.
But
then we have Petey Williams' briefcase. Remember, it's got a world title shot on it. Scott Steiner's got a title shot, but it's for the X Division. So what does Scott Steiner do?
He stole it.
He used his brain.
Hmm.
He switched them.
Like I said, he stole Petey's title shot.
And gave him back his X Division title shot.
Petey is not pleased. I'm not pleased. I want to see Petey with a title shot.
This will lead up to a match at against all odds, though. That's my feeling.
Huh?
This will lead up to a match against all odds. That's my feeling.
Yeah. But I just want to see Petey. It's just a nice view.
Yes. And then at the end of the match, Sanjay Dutt pins, I believe it was Kip James, for roll-up. And after the match, Sanjay Dutt steals a kiss from SoCal Val. I'm trying to bet Black Machismo J. Lethal was freaking.
Oh, he might have been freaking a little bit. Let's see if he actually plays this up as SoCal being his Miss Elizabeth.
That would be the best thing. And then, I think directly after this match, we saw Black Machismo J. Lethal cutaway, hyping the women's title match.
I'm sorry I missed this, because apparently he found a way to work in Wendi Richter and Fabulous Moolah into the promo.
Yep. And will Cyndi Lauper show up? I don't know. Anything can happen. Ooh, yeah. Dang it.
I would become a religious TNA fan if Cyndi Lauper had shown up.
Who knows? Maybe she was in the main event, and that's what we'll get to.
All right.
But first. Robert Roode has a new
stalker.
Secretary or whatnot.
Right, his stalker.
Peyton Banks. Who is she, you ask?
Indeed.
Rain from Shimmer.
By way of WEW?
No, Rain, from Shimmer. She is part... I don't know what she's a part of. Let's see.
I was just curious if she had gone through SoCal Val's other league.
I think, the Minnesota Home Wrecking Crew.
Okay.
Lacey and Raid.
Okay.
Had to look it up for a little bit. And then we get the TNA women's title match. Awesome Kong with a mystery person defeats Gail Kim in a with a great finishing maneuver to win the TNA world's title. And this should have happened at the pay-per-view.
I agree. That triple powerbomb was sick.
And we have a call.
We do.
Yes.
I'm Drew.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I decided to call in because TNA is actually watchable this week. And that's not going to happen for a long time.
Well, it looks like TNA is starting to improve slowly but surely. They're trying to get all their ducks in a row, I believe.
They improve, like, every few weeks, a little bit. And it goes back.
And what's your name, sir?
It's Lithium.
Ah, Lithium from the WrestleCraft forums.
Yeah.
You've been wanting to call in and call in for about weeks, but you've never had the chance.
No. I've been waiting forever.
Well, welcome.
Thanks.
By the way, I have one more question for you, Lithium.
Yeah.
Who did you vote for Gooker this year?
I voted for, like, Vince's year in general, but that didn't really... I don't like when people sum up, you know, entire storylines, but I thought that fitted. It was a really crap year.
Should have been... I voted for Vince's son, to be honest with you.
Oh, what was it again?
Vince's son.
Oh, yeah.
Hornswoggle
McMahon. That's one of the main things.
All right. And, you watched Impact last night, didn't you, Lithium?
Yeah, finally.
You saw in the main event that there was this, veiled person with, Awesome Kong.
Who was that?
There's this, veiled person with, Awesome Kong.
Oh, you mean Ariel.
That was not Ariel.
Oh.
No, she's the chick with LAX.
Oh, they all kind of, you know.
And Lithium, you forgot one thing. It's not Ariel, it's Areola.
That's only Joey Styles.
An entire WrestleCrap, too. For those who listen to WrestleCrap Radio.
Like me.
And me, too. And we've got some rumors floating about that. Under the veil was cheerleader Melissa.
That'd be a heck of a catch for TNA. She's apparently quite good with her craft. I was going to
really
make a joke and say it was
craft.
Daphne. Huh?
She is really good.
I was going to make a Daphne Unger joke, but unfortunately, I would laugh if our Burka Beauty actually just screamed and threw all the veils off.
That would be the best catch for TNA to get Daphne.
Daphne Unger is a freaking bomb. I miss her terribly. And I still laugh at the fact that she was put out for a couple of months to get her tonsils taken out.
Right.
Would Crowbar come in too?
Who?
Crowbar?
That would be nice. I think he'd be a good fit. He's about the right size for that crew. I missed
Who'd
him.
You say again?
Crowbar.
He said Crowbar.
Oh. I just think that the Natural Born Thrillers group that they had going on in WCW with David Flair, Crowbar, and Daphne was the best thing going in late 99.
Oh, no, they weren't the NBT. They were, you're thinking more like Natural Born Killers.
No, the Killers. No, they look like the Natural Born Killers. I wasn't talking about the Thrillers.
You said Thrillers. That's why
I said Killers.
I thought you said Thrillers. My bad. I give this conversation a C+.
Must try harder.
Yes, much harder. With 2 minutes to go.
A little bit less.
Can we save the show in 2 minutes?
Yes, we can save the show in 2 minutes.
Okay. How do we save the show in 2 minutes?
Actually, now we only got 1 minute.
Damn it!
Quickly explain your Canton, Ohio house show.
Yes, indeed. It was a very good show. New recruits include Shannon Moore and OPW's Charles the Hammer Evans. Quick results. Miz and Morrison defeated by Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore. Wang and Moore are now in the Royal Rumble. Kenny Dykstra beat Charles Evans. Kofi Kingston over Kevin Thorne. Jamie Noble over Deuce without Domino or Cherry. Tommy Dreamer and Nunzio fall to Shelton Benjamin and Elijah Burke. MVP retains the United States champion on a disqualification over Finlay. Kelly Kelly in a Best Body contest over Natty Neidhart and Victoria. CM Punk over Chavo Guerrero, and Edge retaining on a DQ for the World Heavyweight title thanks to the clones.
And we're done. Good night, everybody.
Blog Talk night. Radio.
Now, that was a great show.
That was funny. That was funny.
Yes, it was.
I got it wrong. Edge didn't win on a DQ, but he still won.
Wow, that was exhausting.
Well, that just a race to the finish there for that last minute.
And you barely got in.
But thank you. Do not applaud. Just throw money.
Well, how about paper clips?
You got any classic NES duplicates you might want to throw my way?
I don't have any dupes.
Okay.
I was going to ask you if you had any dupes, and I would see if... Do you even have an old-school NES anymore?
I do. I haven't taken it out of the box in ages. And in fact, it's an old enough one that you can get the adapter and play imports on it.
Wow. You mean the first generation?
Well, I cheated. I used to work for a buy-sell trade place. And they told me...
Oh, you got the top loader.
No, I don't have a top loader. I want a top loader. I just don't want to pay $60 for one or more.
Right.
I have a front... It's a front loader. We went through the... They gave me the serial number range. So whenever we took in an NES, I would, you know, we would have a whole bunch of them back there, and the owner's father would come in like once a week and clean them. Clean them, refurbish them, and do all that stuff. Once he would finish with them, he'd put them in a specific place, and I'd sift through them looking for serial numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would just swap out my deck when one of them didn't work anymore. What do I care? They're out of business. They went bankrupt.
Oh, wow.
Huh?
Oh, wow.
The story I was told was that there was a lot of back taxes and owed rent. They put a brand new lock on the door of one store. Forgot what happened to the other store. But I cried when they told me that most of the inventory from one of those stores ended up in a dumpster.
Aw, a shame.
However, I can think of a certain long-haired asshole of a collector who probably dove into that dumpster looking for Atari games. But I will say nothing further. I'm just gonna let that go.
If you have any dupes of NES games, send them to me, please.
I currently don't have any duplicates. Most of my stuff, then again, most of the time when I'm playing NES, I'm playing on my emulator.
Well, if you don't want the games anymore, just send them to me.
I've got a couple that I'm not gonna let go.
Some of the good games?
Well, since I have all three of the Mario games, all four Dragon Warriors, the first five Mega Man games, the original Zelda, I have Nintendo's Tetris. I would kill for Tengen Tetris. I have Palamedes, one of the most addicting puzzle games this side of Tetris.
I have a hold of Palamedes as well.
I have Little Nemo.
Now that's a good game. I like Little Nemo.
That was a brilliant game. I have Kirby's Adventure, which was also brilliant. Oh, what else did I have?
By the way, we have a small update on the Gooker nominations.
Talk to me.
Hornswoggle winning with 23% of the vote.
Okay.
Eric Young versus Robert Root has 21% of the vote. And we have Pac-Man Jones and Rosie O'Donnell tied for third with 14%. So those are your dark horses.
Mm.
And we have Eric Young, Robert Root, and Hornswoggle McMahon as your favorites. And sadly, that leaves Vince McMahon, ECW champion, in the cold.
Damn it. That's the one that needs to win.
We got, and then Stomper, the Diva Search, the TNA Blindfold Steel Cage match, John Cena versus K-Fed, and Black Rain, all dead and buried.
Some of that, in some cases, that's a shame.
I imagine John Cena versus K-Fed getting inducted within the next year. Black Rain has to get in once that storyline runs out. And I implore you, sign up for the WrestleCrap forums.
I... No, those weren't that wasn't the WrestleCrap forum. PW Headlines has a forum as well, and I signed up for that. I'll see what I can do about getting into the WrestleCrap forums.
Yeah, and today is R.D. Reynolds. Over in your neck of the woods, actually, at midnight tonight, it's going to be R.D. Reynolds' birthday.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
All right. Although, let me look, since it is midnight here. If you're looking for some wrestler birthdays, today we celebrate the birthdays of B. Brian Blair and Luna Vachon.
Now, Luna Vachon was a great women's wrestler.
A little out there, but yeah. When's your birthday, Mr. Seidelman?
August 30th.
Let's see. My handy-dandy list of wrestler birthdays. You share a birthday with the Grand Wizard.
Sergeant Slaughter's old manager, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else or just the Grand Wizard?
That's the only one I have. They've got three names next to my... they've got four names next to my birthday, which is March 19th. I can add two more to this list. On here they have Scott Casey, Gino Garibaldi, Bobby Leone, and Joe Turco. None of which I know.
Joe Turco is a famous jobber.
Mm. But I can add two names to this list. SmackDown referee Jimmy Corderas. And ROH and now OVW's flying sensation, Matt Sydal.
Hooray! Anyways, listen to this from WWE.com. Why is Ashley back?
Why is she back?
Yeah.
Because they probably still needed to pay her. And now that her ankle's healthy and she's back from China.
She only lasted 6 days.
That's 5 days longer than Chris Jericho on Celebrity Duets.
Ouch. It's because he got stuck with a bad partner.
And the wrong genre.
Yeah.
They gave him a country duet. And I heard him singing, "Oh my Lord." Oh, I cried. I cried, and then I had to go put something in my ears.
It was that bad.
He sounded like he was trying out for American Idol. He really was.
As William Hung.
Alas. He sounds so much better on the Fozzy CDs.
Well, that's because that's his style of singing.
True. Goofy little bit of trivia. Their self-titled debut album, I think every song on there has the term Break the Walls in their lyrics somewhere.
Cool.
And it's an all-covers album, so it's even funnier.
Amazing that they could find 10, 11 songs to fit that bill.
Now, mind you, I've listened to the whole album only a couple of times, but I kept a handful of tracks.
Right.
I bring with me, like Over the Mountain, The Prisoner, which surprisingly played on my computer the first day I started at my new position at work, but just made a whole lot of sense.
By the way, I got some news for you that you might like.
Talk to me.
The Price is Right is being released on DVD.
Interesting. Is it going to be a best of, or they're going to put two or three episodes each on these DVDs?
It says here 26 episodes.
All right.
It's going to be some priceless episodes. Bob Barker's first episode, the full final week.
Cool.
Some random episodes throughout, and they're going very, very retro.
Okay.
We're going old school Price is Right with the original Price is Right with Bill Cullen.
Ooh, that I'd actually be a little more interested in.
Pretty much, it's like it's just contestants rope, but they keep on bidding.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to bend. And when you feel like somebody's gone over, you freeze.
Okay. Because I remember seeing the interim / parody from the Flintstones, The Prize is Priced.
The Prize is Priced.
Yeah, that was their version of it.
Mm-hmm. It would have been cool if they actually got Bill Cullen to do the voiceovers. Since they were running on the same network, I believe, NBC.
No, I think Flintstones with CBS.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, well.
NBC was airing Flintstones-related stuff in the late 70s and early 80s. I do know that. That might be where you're getting it.
I think they aired The Man Called Flintstone.
Because ABC's never had the Flintstones. I do know that. NBC had the Flintstones starting at least in the mid-late 70s, and I just remember that the closing credits of the original Flintstones episodes listed Screen Gems, which...
That would be CBS.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Most of their stuff was CBS.
Okay. Now we got all of our eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Remember the reality show The Mole?
I recall it.
It's coming back.
Oh, dear.
ABC is reviving it because of all the strike stuff going on.
Well, yeah. That's about all you can put on TV. And as a matter of fact, that's how Vince is getting around the strike.
More Saturday night stuff?
Claiming that his show is a reality show.
That's just hilarious right there.
So, personally, I was hoping that the strike would affect him so that he'd actually have to go hire other schleps or actually get people who know something about wrestling to write.
Yeah, but the people that he get is not, or should I say, are not union.
Or no, what? Well, I didn't think, I figured his writers weren't union to begin with.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to find that clip, that comment that I put
right up. By the way, have you ever seen any of these video game reviewers on YouTube or other places, like Angry Video Game Nerd?
I've heard of him, and what little I watched of him, I was actually a little offended. I was just like, I can do better than this. Unfortunately,
well, since I have you on AIM, I'm going to give you a link to a really good reviewer.
Okay.
His name is Play It Bogart. He doesn't go overboard with the swearing, but in some cases it's really warranted. And in his next review is going to be an all NES football review.
Hmm.
You remember how crappy Back to the Future was, right?
The movie or the game? I should
the game.
I never played it. I'd learned my lesson with E.T.
But you remember how bad it was, right?
It's my understanding it wasn't a very good game.
He actually defends it.
And that's hard to do.
He does well. He points out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he hardly even swears.
That in itself will put him in a positive light for me.
Some of his older reviews he swears because he, well, let's face it, Angry Video Game Nerd, you know, he's like mid to late 20s.
Right.
This guy's younger.
Ah. So he's not old enough to swear?
He's only about 22.
Ah. Let's see. I should reciprocate, but I have to look for the link because I don't have these saved in my YouTube favorites. Are you a fan, sir, of fan fiction?
Fanfics?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. I'm still very enamored over this series that I saw. It's not necessarily a fan fiction. It's more of a fanimation. There's a guy on Newgrounds, and his stuff has leaked over to YouTube, of this bizarre crossover series that he's writing. And I might have brought it up before. Let me see if I can. I have his thing linked. Go to his page.
Oh god. Jared's got on SmackDown right now.
Okay.
Wait a minute, who do we got? Is Coach still there?
Coach is still there, and he either I just automatically tune him out, or he's not as offensive as he was when he was Raw commentator with Lawler and Joey.
I think he might have gotten a little bit better. Have you watched the review yet that I put on your AIM link?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Let me get this intro for you. Just so you can, I'll just send you the intro because I'm not going to, even though the videos are all pretty long. Why doesn't he have the freaking intro here? That's a promo. Well, maybe I can send you this. No, I won't send you that. I'm going to send you the intro.
All right. And he's got other stuff on here anyways. He's also reviewed a... I'm trying to think he's reviewed a Shadow the Hedgehog.
Okay.
He also reviewed Rambo. By the way, remember back in 1994, were you working at your video game store?
94, yes I was.
Remember the biggest game that was supposed to come out in 94, Rise of the Robots?
Yes.
He reviews that. And it's a 20-minute review, but it's so good.
Okay. Here it is. I think I found what I was looking for. Yeah, that's the right intro.
And this is all still being recorded.
That's fine. if you want to, if people want to know what I'm talking about,
Super Mario Brothers Z.
Yes. Take the Mario series. Take the Sonic series. Throw the. Ouch. Sorry, that's so loud.
Got it.
The Sonic characters in Mario's world with a Dragon Ball, with a huge Dragon Ball-esque twist. They've taken two or three of my favorite things and threw them in a blender, and it tastes really good so far. He's produced six episodes that I'm aware of. There's a seventh in the works where he's actually doing more animation. Most of the stuff he does is sprite-based.
This one looks... It is sprite based.
The stuff that you see that I've seen for the preview for episode 7 is more actual animation. Where he's
I've noticed
having,
that. He's got like a lot of back. I also saw a Sparkster background.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Sparkster?
That was the armadillo in the medieval armor, wasn't it?
Not an armadillo. Possum.
Okay. I was
Rocket Knight Adventures.
Yeah, I remember him.
Great video game series. Too bad it only lasted for 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, in some of the Bogart review stuff.
Yeah.
He had this gimmick going, which is a really good one. Law and Order, the suck-ass games unit.
Oh, no.
And that's sort of a running thing. He hasn't changed it yet.
Right.
That's sort of just a setup. And he actually does a... the whole long R intro thing. Listen to this.
Especially heinous. On YouTube, these offenders are pursued by an elite squad known as the Suck-Ass Games. These are their stories.
Yay!
And I tell you, this guy is good. Here's the going for you. He doesn't just review crappy games, he also reviews good games.
I would hope so.
You see this link that I'm posting to you right now?
Got it.
Click on that one. That's for Top Gun, the second mission.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're lagging.
Sorry. Oh, this is
just...
silly.
But it's good,
oh,
though.
Oh, my Lord. This guy needs a job somewhere.
He does have a job.
He should be doing this for a living. Somebody call G4.
He works for UPS as a customs broker.
Poor shit. He should be working for G4.
And I lied. He's only 20.
Wow. That's messed up.
Watching it right now?
I had to step away from it for a second. I've got another IM going. My friend.
Yeah, well, I think we should hang this up right now because we're going over time and we're not talking wrestling.
Ooh. Is that a crime?
Not really. Who cares? Let's just.
But yeah, we probably should wrap this up.
All right. Thanks for listening to us talk about various other stuff than wrestling. So. Night, everybody.
Night, folks.
Yes, listen to the music show on Thursday. WrestleCrat Musical Showcase with Sigma Fan and Dude next week. Who knows when that will be on. Check out the WrestleCrat forums under that official WrestleCrat Musical Showcase with Sigma Fan and Dude thread. And we'll tell you when our next show will be. So, toodles.
Night, folks.